action, your business needs to make an impact of either scale or magnitude or both. Within our Fastlane wealth equation, scale and magnitude are implicit to our net profit variable. Net profit equals units sold, scale, times unit profit, magnitude. An example of scale is reflected on our Fastlane roadmap via the profit variable in our wealth equation, units sold. If you sell 20 million pens and make 75 cents profit on each, you just earn 15 million. This is having an impact on scale with little magnitude. Obviously, selling a writing pen doesn't have a major impact on anyone's life. The wealth is transmuted by a scale, not magnitude. Conversely, magnitude is having a great impact on a few, and within our Fastlane wealth equation is reflected in unit profit. Price always reflects magnitude. If you sell a product that's worth 50 million, you have access to magnitude. For example, if you owned an apartment complex with 400 units and you profit $100 from each unit, you generate $40,000 in monthly income. Because you are providing housing for 400 families, you are making an impact of magnitude, not scale. Shelter has magnitude. Activities of magnitude have higher profit potential with smaller scales. Magnitude is always reflected by an item's price. High value equals high price equals high magnitude. If you can combine both scale and magnitude, we won't be discussing millions, but billions. Donald Trump makes an impact on both magnitude and scale, and therefore is worth billions. Scale creates millionaires. Magnitude creates millionaires. Scale and magnitude creates billionaires. Follow the money. Unfortunately, the word law is loosely tossed around to represent concepts that aren't really laws. The law of attraction isn't a law, but a theory. The word law is absolute. It works 100% of the time. When you drop a watermelon from your 10th floor dorm window, the law of gravity takes over. The watermelon falls to the ground every single time. The outcome is 100% certainty. Unfortunately, positive thinking and visualization doesn't work with 100% certainty. Belief and manifestation aren't absolute, so they can't be classified as laws. However, the law of affection is absolute. Show me any self-made billionaire and I will show you a person who has touched the law of affection, either in scale or magnitude. To Woodward and Bernstein, Deep Throat said, "Follow the money, and when you do, you find the only true law of wealth, and that is affection." Why? Because affection is rooted in mathematics, and because of this, it operates exclusive of any roadmap. A slow laner can use the law of affection to escape slow lane confinement. Pro athletes, actors, entertainers, intrinsic value explosions happen because of affection. Society suddenly perceives your value to be meteoric. Yes, these people are still trading their time for money, but in an unprecedented stratum of value. For example, over the last decade, Bill Clinton earned over $50 million in public speaking fees. While speaking is a direct trade of time for money, his intrinsic value is legendary, perhaps more than $100,000 per hour. Underneath the big fee is the law of affection. He speaks to millions and is paid millions. A rapper sells millions of songs and is paid millions. A housewife sells a million kitchen gadgets and earns millions. A lottery winner wins millions because millions entered the drawing. Daddy Warbucks' son inherits millions because Warbucks' company served millions. A plastic surgeon earns millions because he serves many in magnitude. A star athlete's agent earns millions because his clients serve millions. We trace the source of millionaire money and you will always find millions of something. Affection or scale or magnitude always precedes money, either directly or indirectly. The more lives you impact, directly or indirectly, the more wealth you will attract. Big wealth follows big numbers. Athletes are a perfect example of affection. If you play professional baseball, you're paid a meteoric intrinsic value. In 2009, Alex Rodriguez signed a $240 million contract. How exactly is that justified? Simple. The law of affection justifies all wealth. Alex Rodriguez, via baseball, entertains millions. He leverages scale. This is the same for any professional athlete. They get paid millions because they entertain millions. A comedian who makes millions of people laugh gets paid millions. The corporate executive who facilitates a corporation that serves millions of people gets paid millions of dollars. Again, these are glorified power intrinsic value positions that leverage the law of affection. If you want to get rich via intrinsic value, you must do it via the law of affection. Get into a position to impact millions. Become indispensable and irreplaceable like an athlete, entertainer, or top brass executive. Can't get access to millions like an athlete? Then go directly to the source and serve the source. For example, agents of high-profile athletes are as rich as the athletes themselves because they have indirect contact to the law of affection. Real estate brokers who specialize in the homes of the rich become rich themselves because they indirectly connect themselves to the arbiter of the law. The law of affection doesn't care about roadmaps or time trades or anything but the mathematical power of large numbers. Make a giant impact a few times or make a small impact millions of times.
Joe Magnitude owns a company that develops commercial real estate. He develops 14 office complexes and partitions the offices into condos. Each fully sold complex profits him $400,000.
14 scale times 400,000 magnitude equals $5.6 million.
Joe Scale writes a book detailing A Diet of the Stars. He sells 8 million copies, Scale, and earns $7 per copy, Magnitude. He earns the same amount, $5.6 million.
The closer you get to the source of large numbers, the closer you will get to wealth. To serve millions is to make millions. Think big to earn big. Chapter Summary, Fast Lane Distinctions. The law of affection states the more lives you affect or breach, both in scale or magnitude, the richer you will become. Scale translates to units sold of our profit variable within our fast lane wealth equation. Magnitude translates to unit profit of our profit variable within our fast lane wealth equation. The law of attraction is not a law, but a theory. The law of affection is absolute and operates exclusive of any roadmap. All lineages of self-made wealth trace back to the law of affection. The law of affection's absoluteness comes from direct access and control, for example, you are the athlete, versus indirect access, for example, you are the athlete's agent. To make millions, you must serve millions in scale or few in magnitude. The law of affection's absoluteness comes from a direct access and control, you are the athlete, versus indirect access, you are the athlete's agent. To make millions, you must serve millions in scale or a few in magnitude. Part 6, Your Vehicle to Wealth, You. Chapter 22, Own Yourself First. Events and circumstances have their origin in ourselves. They spring from the seeds which we have sown. Henry David Thoreau. The Paralysis of Pay Yourself First. Fast lane success demands a well-tuned vehicle primed and prepared for the journey that awaits. You are the vehicle to wealth. You are the mechanism for movement. You are responsible for making the journey, and the first step in taking charge of you is to own you. Surely you've heard pay yourself first, a common slow lane declaration born from the classic 1926 book The Richest Man in Babylon by George Clason. A good read, but fundamentally flawed. If you aren't familiar with pay yourself first, it's a slow lane doctrine that urges you to save your money, pay yourself, before all else, food, gas, car payments, and other bills. This supposedly forces the slow laner's savings rate to accelerate their putrid wealth acceleration vehicle, compound interest via market investments. The fact is, advising a slow laner to pay yourself first is like advising a quadriplegic to climb a flight of stairs. It's fruitless. If you have a job, examine your last paycheck. Is your gross pay the same as your net pay? It isn't, and for some, it may be as much as 35% less. Additionally, pre-tax saving weapons such as 401ks and IRAs severely limit your contributions to small amounts where creating wealth on a pre-tax basis in a job becomes organizationally penal. If your primary income source comes from a job, your ability to pay yourself first is paralyzed because the governments are paid first. For pay yourself first to be legitimate, you truly need to pay yourself first in infinite amounts and the government last. You must own your own vehicle. To pay yourself first, you must own yourself. You can't pay yourself first if you don't own yourself. Your vehicle, you, must be free and clear. When you have a job, someone owns you. And when someone owns you, you aren't paid first, but last. The first step in controlling your vehicle, you, is to own yourself so you can truly pay yourself first and the government last. That is accomplished by shelling your business into a corporation that you control. The corporation serves as the fast lane frame because it offers the immediate tax benefit of pay yourself first versus pay yourself last. When you own a corporation, net profits are reduced by expenses. The remaining profit is taxed, and those taxes are paid to the government. Additionally, corporations exist separate from their owners and survive time. It's the surrogate structure that serves as your business system. When you own a corporation, the government is paid 4 times a year, once every quarter through estimated taxes. If you have a payroll, taxes are paid each time you pay your employees. I pay myself first 365 times a year, but the government is just paid 4 times a year. Doesn't that sound like a structure that is conducive to not only pay yourself first, but also wealth? How to own yourself. Like many entrepreneurs, I made the horrific mistake of getting into business as a sole proprietor. Any advisor who recommends a business structure as a sole proprietorship or a general partnership should be avoided like an airport toilet. These entities are risky because they don't protect you and catapult unlimited liability onto you and your personal assets. If you're a plumber organized as a sole proprietor and you accidentally leave a pipe cutter at the client's house and a client's 3-year-old kid kills himself with it, guess what? They're coming after you because you have chosen an ill-protected business entity. Instead of suing a corporation, they sue you and everything you own is up for grabs. The best business structures for your fast lane business are: number 1, C corporation; number 2, S corporation; number 3, limited liability corporation. Assuming you live in America, each has its advantages and disadvantages, but all share 2 common benefits: limitation of liability and tax efficiency. The C corporation. The C corporation is a business structure that survives time and can easily be transferred. Corporate profits are taxed at the corporate income tax rates, with net income distributed to shareholders. Some C-Corp owners use a structure to deploy a strategy known as income splitting. The strategy is to partition the business income to both the owner and the business, effectively lowering the tax bracket of the two, versus a large income for just one. While it's not within the scope of this book to dive into tax strategy and corporate formation, it does offer up a fast lane component, which is control. While C corporations and their owners are subject to double taxation, tax on corporate profits and dividends to shareholders, they are advantageous for larger corporations and corporations with an asset growth strategy. In other words, if you don't plan on distributing profits and are focused on building asset value over net profit, C corporations do the job. The majority of publicly traded companies are C corps that do not distribute dividends to their shareholders. They grow revenue and asset value. The S corporation. An S corporation is like a C corporation, except that it isn't taxed as a separate entity. Considered a pass-through entity, taxes aren't paid at the corporate level, but at the individual level and reflected on the owner's personal tax return. S corporations also have some tax advantages because profits are not subject to the hefty self-employment tax that comes with sole proprietorships. However, unlike C corporations, which have limitless owners, S corporations are limited to 100 owners and will have additional filing requirements. The Limited Liability Corp, LLC. An LLC operates just like a corporation with the benefits of a partnership or sole proprietorship. The LLC profit passes through to its owners, called members, and is reflected on their personal income tax. LLCs are also considered a pass-through entity because profit passes directly to the owners. For partnerships, the LLC or S-Corp is the recommended structure in lieu of a general partnership, which it again does not offer liability protection. For small startups, I recommend either an LLC or an S-Corp. Stay away from partnerships and sole proprietorships, as they do not limit liability. Creating a corporation is not as daunting as it seems. Depending on your state, it shouldn't cost more than $1,000. In Arizona, one could be created for less than a few $100. Selecting an entity. Selecting an entity depends on your goals and your vision for your business. Here are some general questions to help you decide. What is your exit strategy? Go public, sell to private investors? What is your growth strategy? What is your liability exposure in the worst case? Do you plan on raising venture capital now or in the future? Do you plan on hiring employees? Do you plan to take on new partners? Do you plan on earning profits fast or not for a while? Your answers will determine the best entity for you. In my business, I use both S-Corps and LLCs. And finally, I'm not an accountant or an attorney, and this should not be construed as professional advice, so please consult with someone who has the appropriate credentials to verify or disprove what I recommend. Chapter Summary, Fastlane Distinctions. Pay yourself first is fundamentally impossible in a job. To own your own vehicle, you start a corporation that formally divorces you from the active business. Your corporation is the body of your surrogate. The recommended Fastlane business entity is a C-Corp, an S-Corp, or an LLC. Chapter 23, Life's Steering Wheel. Your life is the sum of all the choices you make, both consciously and unconsciously. If you can control the process of choosing, you can take control of all aspects of your life. You can find the freedom that comes from being in charge of yourself. Robert F. Bennett. The leading cause of poorness. If being poor was an illness, take a guess to its cause. Of course, lack of money. But is that a cause or a symptom of the underlying problem? Lack of education? Lack of opportunity? Lack of positive role models or determination? Nope. Those are all symptoms. If you retrace poverty's footprints, you will find that poorness always starts at the exact same place. Choice. Poor choices are the leading cause of poorness. The heart of the problem. As my income elevated, so did my cholesterol. The road of good living runs parallel to a cliff of gluttony. My doctor's preferred method of attack was prescription drugs. I refused because I wanted to fix problems, not mask symptoms. If you approach wealth like a big pharmaceutical company and attack symptoms while neglecting problems, you will not succeed. Feeling tired? Take this pill. Want to lose weight? Another pill. The problems are ignored while the symptoms are addressed in catatonic cycles. I refused cholesterol medication because it addressed the symptom, not the problem. The problem is poor diet. Cholesterol is the symptom. If your car's fuel tank had a small leak, how would you fix it? The symptomatic solver would increase his trips to the gas station to ensure a steady inflow of fuel. The problematic solver plugs up the hole. One addresses the symptom, the gas tank leaks, while the other addresses the problem, there's a hole in the gas tank. While adding fuel addresses the symptom, it doesn't solve the problem. When the behavior stops, the problem remains. So how does this relate to success and choices? Simple. If you aren't where you want to be, the problem is your choices. Your circumstances are the symptoms of those choices. For example, everyone loves success quotes. Well, here are two.
The will to persevere is often the difference between failure and success. Success means having the courage, the determination, and the will to become the person you believe you were meant to be.
The problem with these quotes is they're asymptomatic. They're ambiguous to the real issue, and that is choice. The first quote deals with perseverance. Well, how do you persevere? You react from conscious choice. Not just one choice, but hundreds, perhaps thousands. You cannot choose to persevere with one choice. You cannot wake up one day and say, oh, today I will choose to persevere. It must happen every day, not just once. Perseverance is architected by many choices that fabricate the lifestyle. If you quit after two tries, have you persevered? Can you claim perseverance after one failure? Likewise, the second quote suffers from the same conundrum. Determination is not a solitary choice, but thousands of them. You cannot decide to be determined. It must occur repeatedly, concertedly, and with commitment. The point of this dissertation is that fast lane success isn't one choice. It's hundreds. And when you line a string of choices together, they create your process. And your process will create your lifestyle. Lifestyle choices will make you a millionaire. Your life's steering wheel. Your choices spark the fires of future circumstances. The fabric of your life is sewn by the cumulative consequences of your choices, millions of them, that you set into motion. You act, react, believe, disbelieve, perceive, misperceive, all of it engineers your existence. If you're dissatisfied with life, your choices take full responsibility. Blame yourself and the choices you've made. Yes, you are as you have chosen. It took me 26 years of life and a blizzard to grasp the horsepower of my choices. The blizzard impeded my limousine, but I was there because I chose it. I chose to get that job. I chose to pursue low-rent businesses. I chose to continue life in Chicago. I chose to avoid corporate after college. I chose my friends. I chose my business pursuits. I chose all of it, and it engineered my life to that exact moment. I awoke to the epiphany that I was the driver of my life, and my problems were the consequences of my choices. I steered myself there. Wherever you are, reading on the train, on a plane, on a toilet in a run-down apartment, or on a beach in the Caribbean, you've chosen. I didn't force you to pick up this book and read it. You chose to. Yes, you are exactly where you decide to be. And if that's unhappiness, you need to start making better choices. Choose to be wealthy or choose to be poor. There's a big chasm between thinking wealth and choosing wealth. You can choose the sidewalk, the slow lane, or the fast lane. You can choose to align your life with greater purpose or choose to let life live you. You can choose to believe these theories or choose not to. The common denominator is you. Your steering wheel, choice, is the most powerful control you have in your life. Why do I hate the slow lane? Because it denies choice and gives it to somebody else. The company, the boss, the stock market, the economy, and a whole host of others. People don't choose to be poor. They make poor decisions that slowly assembles into a poorness puzzle. Retrace the footprints to poverty and it happens slowly, systematically, and methodically under a steady diet of poor choices. For example, the choice to cheat on your exams or study. The choice to squander college because your parents paid for it. The choice to lie or be honest. The choice to drive without insurance. The choice to befriend bad people over good people. The choice to watch TV or read a book. The choice to drive 100 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone. The choice to rob the corner convenience store. The choice to overindulge in food or liquor. The choice to believe in people with no track record. The choice to cheat on your significant other. The choice to buy on credit. The choice to get high every weekend. The choice to hire a contractor without a background check. The choice to play video games 30 hours a week. The choice to get married after 4 weeks of dating. The choice to go into business with incompetent partners. The road to treason is always open. I always loved a good street race. Having owned a variety of juiced-up Vipers, confrontation was standard. One summer evening, after a few drinks, I let my ego take over and I street raced. I overthrottled, spun out of control, and crossed into oncoming traffic and crashed into a palm tree. By the time it was over, the new occupant in my Viper's passenger seat was the trunk of a 30-foot date palm. I was arrested, taken to jail, and charged with DUI and reckless endangerment. Luckily, I didn't kill anyone or myself. In fact, the arresting officer, who witnessed the entire race, brilliant, huh, stated that had the impact been driver's side versus passenger side, I would have been killed. I survived a life-or-death coin flip. In reflection, my choice to race was a treasonous choice. Treasonous choices are actions that do irreparable harm to your life, your dreams, and your goals. The consequences of treasonous choices throw life onto unintended detours and hazardous roads that are difficult to escape and oftentimes become permanent. Had I killed someone, I would have spent years in jail, spent half my fortune on lawyers, and had to live with the painful reality that I stole someone's life. Life would have been instantly transformed with new circumstances unveiled. No amount of money can keep you from prison or purge your soul from the foolish horror of taking someone's life. Treasonous choices change your life forever.
Jack finances his dream home and takes on an $800,000 mortgage, although he only makes $65,000 a year. Due to loose credit and an exploding housing market, he accepts the loan. He doesn't read the documents and assumes his mortgage lender has his best interests at heart. 18 months later, his interest rate adjusts upward and he can't afford the mortgage, forcing him into foreclosure. His poor credit haunts him for 12 years. He can't qualify for a new mortgage and potential business opportunities go untapped.
A fast-lane millionaire by age 28, Andre has everything. A beautiful wife, money, a healthy baby daughter, and 7 restaurants scattered across the 5 boroughs. Andre is on top of the world. One night after a few drinks to celebrate his night manager's birthday, Andre drives home drunk. He chooses to think, I'm okay. On his way home, he gets into an accident and kills a family of 4. Andre is arrested for drunk driving, and after his conviction, he spends the next 11 years of his life in prison. He loses his businesses and his family. Andre's life forever changed because of multiple treasonous choices. The choice to drink, the choice to drive, the choice to think, I'm okay. The series of choices is plentiful. His exit strategy is clear. He didn't choose wisely. Recent events from the sports pages illustrate the gravity of treason. Football player Michael Vick engaged in criminal activity and it reshaped his life. His legacy, if you call it that, will never be the same. He lost respectability and 2 years of his life. He made multiple choices that started with the choice to commiserate with derelicts engaged in criminal activity. Another football player made a choice and it cost him his life. He'd never guessed that cheating on your wife could end so tragically. It did for Steve McNair when his mistress allegedly shot him to death in a Nashville, Tennessee condo. While he didn't choose to be murdered, he chose to pursue the woman. He chose the relationship. He chose to cheat. He chose to act. You see, we aren't talking about one choice here, but many, and that made him complicit to the treason. Steve McNair's choices loaded the gun, but someone else pulled the trigger. Your life's steering wheel is a dangerous weapon. 3 inches is all it takes. Jerk your life's wheel 3 tiny inches while speeding, and you can steer your life onto a path of no return, or worse, smack into a concrete wall. Like an automobile's steering wheel, your choices are super sensitive. Unfortunately, treasonous roads always have a green light. People drown in the misery of their own choices while neglecting to acknowledge they are the cause. What's chosen today impacts forever. You'll see. You'll see is my mother's code for I'm right, you're wrong, and time will uncover that truth. As a rebellious teen, Mom lobbed a you'll see at me after she surrendered to my pleadings for an off-road motorcycle. Mother didn't like the idea and levied her missive. You'll see. It didn't take long for that you'll see to come true. Full of testosterone, cocky, and invincible, a 15-year-old kid with no motorcycle experience gambled with his life. I crashed on a dirt road going 50 miles an hour and broke my wrist, my 2 fingers, I lost nerves in my knee, and I screwed up my neck. While the bones healed, the full array of consequences from that day has not dissipated. Decades later, I live with chronic neck pain and have to sleep in unorthodox positions just to avoid discomfort. I've spent countless hours and money on physical therapy and chiropractic treatments. Many times I fantasize about going back in time to that day and bitch-slapping that arrogant kid. I wish I could tell him how things are. I wish I could tell him to read this chapter. I wish he would understand the trajectory or the horsepower of his choices. Our choices have consequences that transcend decades. This transcendence is horsepower. Every time my discomfort reminds me of that fateful day when I chose poorly. And today, I'm still paying for the mortgage of that choice, a mortgage that never amortizes. The butterfly effect. Can you make a choice this instant that can forever alter the trajectory of your future? You can, and it can be the difference between poverty and wealth. When you make minor permutations or choices that deviate from your initial conditions, profound effects transpire over time. Think of it like a golf club striking a golf ball. When the club face hits the ball square, the ball goes straight and heads toward the hole. But when the club face is rotated a minor fraction of 1 degree, the ball's trajectory lands far off course. At impact, the divergence is minor, but as the ball travels further and further, it widens and widens until the gap is so large that getting back on track is nearly impossible. A bad choice can set your trajectory off by 1 degree today, but over the years, the error is magnified. Choices have this type of divergence over time, and it's called impact differential. When your choices are extrapolated throughout the years, the divergence widens. The divergence can be either positive or negative. For example, when I moved to Phoenix from Chicago, the impact differential exploded as time passed. Had I not made that choice, my life would be significantly different today. I also chose to get a dead-end job as a limo driver, which opened my eyes to a business need. That, too, was a choice that had extraordinary horsepower and created positive impact differential. The 2003 movie The Butterfly Effect, starring Ashton Kutcher, is a great film that excellently illustrates choice horsepower. In the movie, the main characters engage in treasonous choices as youngsters, and you get to witness how each life unfolds as those treasonous choices permeate through time. You get to see the impact differential. Recognize that every day you make decisions that will ripple through the years. The question is, will your choice ripple to happiness and wealth, or depression and poverty? The erosion of horsepower. Your choices have significant trajectory into the future, and the younger you are, the more horsepower they exude. Unfortunately, horsepower fades with age. If this is confusing, think about it in terms of an asteroid that is on a collision course with Earth. When an asteroid is millions of miles out at space, representing your youthful choices, a simple 1 degree change in trajectory will save the Earth from destruction. This is the power of horsepower. Now for us older folks, the asteroid is closer to Earth and closer to our death, which weakens the potency of our choices. A 1 degree change isn't as effective, and for the same potency, it needs to be 10 degrees. When you are under 25, you have maximum horsepower, and your choices discharge an incredible amount of firepower. A simple choice I made more than 20 years ago is still felt today. That's a lot of torque. If you reflect on your choices, you make them in an instant, and yet their consequences transcend a lifetime, especially the ones made early in life. Your life's choices are like a mature oak tree with millions of branches. The branches symbolizes the consequences of your choices. Near the trunk of the tree, the branches are thick, reflecting the decisions you've made early in life, while the top branches are thin, symbolizing decisions near the end of your life. Youthful choices radiate the most strength and fabricate the trunk of your tree. As the branches ascend topside through time, they get thinner and weaker. You don't have enough power to bend the tree in new directions because the trunk is thick with age, experience, and reinforced habits. My motorcycle crash had significant horsepower because I feel it today. If you're unmarried with 5 kids by age 23, where do you think the branches of your choice tree will lead? How thick and unbendable is your choice tree? If you skip classes and are drunk for 4 years in college, how will that ripple through your choice tree? If your best friend is a drug dealer, where will that branch lead?
At age 16, for a school prank, David ignites a smoke bomb in the school bus, and 14 children suffer smoke inhalation. Fortunately, those children recovered quickly, but David's 10-day stay in juvenile detention forever propels David's life down a different path. David meets Rudy, who teaches David the rules of the perfect burglary. This relationship forges David's new career choice, thievery. After avoiding the law for 7 years, David is caught, convicted, and sentenced to 9 years in prison.
Had David not met Rudy, where would he be? A fireman? A banker? Choice and its horsepower transcend.
At age 17 and against her parents' wishes, Alyssa, an honor student, leaves home to live with a 31-year-old man she met at a local bar 4 months earlier. Her boyfriend introduces her to crystal meth, and what initially started as a funny experiment becomes a life-consuming addiction. Alyssa resorts to illegal activities to support her habit, including stealing from her parents. Her reckoning occurs when she is caught at the local mall stealing and sentenced to 3 years in jail and state-mandated rehabilitation.
Had Alyssa listened to her parents, where would she be today? Choice and its horsepower transcend. The smallest choices made in your life create habits and lifestyle that forms process. They are the ones that can make the biggest impact. You can't decide to go fast lane because that itself is just an event. A fast lane process is hundreds of choices. Regardless of age, reflect on your life and analyze the forks in the road and where those forks have taken you. The forks are choices, both large and small, and each shares the common thread of having the magnificent power to take you somewhere different. Whatever you decide today impacts tomorrow, weeks, months, years, decades, and yes, generations. If you're younger than 30 years old, your choices right now are at peak horsepower because they are growing the thick branches of your choice tree. It's time to put the pedal to the metal. Chapter Summary, Fast Lane Distinctions. The leading cause of poorness is poor choices. The steering wheel of your life is your choices. You are exactly where you chose to be. Success is hundreds of choices that form process. Process forms lifestyle. Choice is the most powerful control you have in your life. Treasonous choices forever impact your life negatively. Your choices have significant horsepower or trajectory into the future. The younger you are, the more potent your choices and the more horsepower you possess. Over time, horsepower erodes as the consequences of old choices are thick and hard to bend. Chapter 24. Wipe Your Windshield Clean. Until we see what we are, we cannot take steps to become what we should be. Charlotte P. Gilman. Wipe Your Windshield Clean. While pumping gas into my Lamborghini, a teenager once asked me if he could snap some pictures. Sure, go ahead, I replied. After a few various rants and raves about the car, he exclaimed, I gotta get as many pictures as possible, cause I'll never be able to afford one of these. Do you see a problem in that conclusion? This young man made a choice to believe he will never own a Lamborghini. He couldn't see beyond his own windshield. Is this a small choice? A treasonous choice? A choice of significant horsepower? This seemingly innocent choice of perception has the excruciating horsepower of treason. It's a crippler of dreams. The teen's choice of perception was poor, and because of it, it will forever lead him to mediocre results. His jury has already deliberated, and the verdict was in. An extravagant car will always be out of his league, and therefore, his choices will reflect that mindset. Unfortunately, he didn't understand the debilitating effect of being clouded to our own self-constructed windshield into the world. The Choice of Perception. In the last chapter, we discussed choices and their impact on your life. Thus far, it's all been about choices of action, physical actions which produces consequences. However, if you look deeper, what causes those actions? What motivates you to act and to choose? We have two types of choices. Number one, the choices of perception, thought patterns, and number two, choices of action, like choosing to read. Choices of perception serve as the impetus to your choices of action. If you believe and perceive a certain idea, you're likely to act in accordance to that belief. The difference between the teen at the gas station and me was this. When I witnessed my first Lamborghini as a kid, I thought, someday I'm going to own one of those. My choice of perception was strong and further manifested itself into choices of action that reflected that perception. You see, you choose to interpret events in your particular frame of reference. Your mind labels and categorizes events that surround you. For example, when someone says dog, you might see a black Labrador while other people see a poodle. When you see a mansion on the beach, do you think, that guy's lucky, or I'll never own something like that? The first step in making better choices starts with your choice of perception, because your actions evolve from those perceptions. If you lose your job, you can frame it as a negative or a positive. When you're caught speeding, you can be angry or thankful. The choice of perception and its choices start right between your ears and drive themselves into choices of action. Your perception is not the reality. A few years ago, my girlfriend and I were at a friend's home for a party. We sat at a small table and noticed an overly exuberant gentleman moving from table to table talking to people. He looked like he was canvassing the room as if he was selling something. Well, guess what? He was. He eventually got to our table and unleashed the uncouth. "Hey, how would you like to earn $10,000 a month?" The question was inappropriate for the party, so I decided to respond with equal inappropriateness. I asked him, "$10,000 a month, really?" Thinking I was hooked, he tried to sell me on some network marketing opportunity for some herbal supplement. I interrupted him and laughed. "Listen, I make about $10,000 every few days, so for me your opportunity would be a 90% pay cut. Do you think I'm interested?" His eyes popped out of their sockets, and after he picked them off the table, he scampered away like a rat without his cheese. In this brief exchange, this man made an assumption. $10,000 is a lot of money. It isn't. Money is infinite. Fast-lane opportunists can drive opportunities that yield 6 and 7 figures monthly. The difference is perception. I remember the day when I thought $10,000 was a lot of money. It was a perception and not reality. Earning $1 million in 1 month is possible if you make the right choices and drive the right fast-lane roads. This perception leads to better choices of action. That guy at the party, he chose a crowded road. Instead of creating a multi-level marketing company, he joined one. Instead of serving the masses through affection, he joined the masses. Wiping the windshield clean starts with language. You can expose your mindset by examining the words in your language and your thoughts. Take, for example, this comment made on the Fastlane forum.
"I got engaged last Friday. I had been struggling with this for some time, but decided to give marriage one more try. She's a great girl and deserves the best, and I think I can give it to her."
When you read this statement, do you see assured success or pending failure? While I wish the man the best marriage, I see flaccid words that lack confidence. "Try," "I think." This language spells trouble. What would have convinced me otherwise?
"I got engaged last Friday. I had been struggling with this for some time, but decided to get married for the last time. She's a great girl and deserves the best, and I will give it to her."
Notice the difference. One is flimsy and the other is firm. Both might seem to say the same thing, but one implies possible failure while the other implies committed success. Your internal language carries weight. If a brain surgeon told you before surgery, "I think I can operate on you and I will try to succeed," you should freak out and trade in your hospital gown for some eternal nighties. Altering your words and thought perceptions are akin to wiping your windshield clean and seeing beyond your own sphere of sight. How do you manage your choice of perception? What language do you use in your mind? "I never," "I can't," "if only." Or do you choose better words? "It's possible," "I'll overcome," "I will," "I can." If your world is canvassed with words like "never" and "can't," guess what? It's true. You can't and you never will. Is it possible to earn $1 million in 1 month? Sure it is. Just go ask the guy who does it. What makes his windshield different from yours? Good choices of perception translate into good choices of action. To change your perception is to change your future actions. The goal of this book is to change your perception about wealth and money. Believe that retirement at any age is possible. Believe that old age is not a prerequisite to wealth. Believe that a job is just as risky as a business. Believe that the stock market isn't a guaranteed path to riches. Believe that you can be retired just a few years from today. So how do you upload new beliefs and overwrite the old ones? Find the information, resources, and the people that align with the new beliefs. For myself, I pursued the stories of those who acquired wealth fast and soon learned that get rich quick wasn't a myth. I never found that 19-year-old who got rich piling money into mutual funds. However, I did find 24-year-old millionaire inventors, business founders, authors, and website owners. If you want extraordinary results, you're going to need extraordinary thinking. Unfortunately, extraordinary is not found trapped in society's gravity of thinking and the beliefs that fuel them. Steering tips, better choices, and a better life. As your journey progresses, respect yourself and ask, is this a good choice of perception? A good choice of action? Is this going to be treasonous to my dreams and cloud my windshield to a better life? Have I chosen to be a victim or a victor? Have I chosen to surrender or to accept the challenge? Changing your life starts with changing choices. The fast lane vehicle to wealth is driven on choice, not asphalt. You start making better choices using two strategies dependent on the decision's gravity. Number one, worst case consequence analysis, or WCCA. Number two, weighted average decision matrix, or WADM. Worst case consequence analysis is designed to steer you away from perilous detours and treasonous choices. Conversely, weighted average decision matrix is designed to help you make better big decisions with multiple contingencies. This dual prong attack works on the choice extremes, a prevention of disastrous choices and a facilitator of good choices. Worst case consequence analysis. The first decision tool is worst case consequence analysis, or WCCA, which requires you to become forward thinking and an analyzer of potential consequences. WCCA asks you to answer three questions about every decision of consequence. Number one, what is the worst case consequence of this choice? Number two, what is the probability of this outcome? Number three, is this an acceptable risk? While these three questions might seem lengthy, your analysis process shouldn't take longer than a few seconds. You don't need a paper and a pen, just your head and a conscious choice of perception. When choices are analyzed using WCCA, potential disasters are exposed and alternatives can be chosen. Unnecessary roads of treason can be bypassed. I use WCCA extensively. For example, several years ago, after several drinks at a local bar, I went home with a woman who was making the moves on me and wanted to get busy. She pulled the old harlequin whisper, "Make love to me." Of course, having known her for all but 2 hours, I knew this wasn't love, but something else. Behind my drunken passion, I ran through the WCCA analysis. What is the worst case outcome of this choice? Number one, I could get a sexually transmitted disease. Number two, I could get her pregnant and be locked into this person for the rest of my life. Number three, I could be falsely accused of rape. What is the probability of these outcomes? Number one, the STD probability is probably about 10%. That was based on her outward promiscuity. The number two consequence, pregnancy, was probably only about 1%. The number three probability, being falsely accused, was about slim and none, or roughly 0.1%. Now, are these acceptable risks? I immediately reasoned, hell no. The 10% or the 1%, I reasoned the risk was just too great and that the risk had outcomes that could change my life forever. I denied the woman's advances and hid my lust in favor of a better choice. Now, what if I hadn't? Sure, I would have enjoyed a quick romp of fun, but what about afterwards? Would I be put in a position of an unplanned pregnancy with a woman I really didn't know? Would I be condemned with a disease that would further jeopardize my health and limit my search for a future partner? The potential consequences of this action had profound, treasonous trajectories, which I avoided. Worst-case consequence analysis comes into play when I drive. Viper, Lamborghini, doesn't matter. Other idiot drivers looking for a street race constantly harass me. Sure, I might hit the accelerator hard for 3 seconds, but in those 3 seconds, WCCA takes over. What's the worst that could happen? I could kill myself and somebody else. Odds? I don't know, 3%? Knowing my racing competency, the risks are dangerously high. I release the accelerator and don't engage. The other driver? He speeds away with something to prove and in total disregard to the consequences. That's okay. Maybe there's a reason why he's driving a 10-year-old fart can Honda and I'm in the Lamborghini. He can win the street race. I'll win life. The Weighted Average Decision Matrix, or WADM. Ever wrestle with a tough decision? One day you favor option A, and the next day you flounder back to option B? Wouldn't it be great if making a tough decision were as simple as picking a higher number? The second decision tool I use compares and quantifies big decisions. You know them. Should you move or stay? Quit or continue? Go back to college or not? For WADM, you just need a paper and a pencil. Or alternatively, you can visit helpmydecision.com and let the web work the calculation for you. Now keep in mind, WADM is for big decisions, so you might use this a few times, where WCCA can be used daily. With WADM, decision-making is easy as it isolates and prioritizes factors relevant to your decision and then quantifies each decision with a value. The higher value reflects the better decision. For example, if you had a choice between moving to Detroit or Phoenix, WADM would yield a simple numerical valuation like Detroit, 88, and Phoenix, 93. Based on the number, Phoenix is the better choice. While WADM is subjective and requires your unfettered objectivity, it is a great tool for identifying which choice is more favorable to your preferences. To use WADM, a minimum of 2 choices are needed, but it could be used for more. Let's say you do indeed live in Detroit and are considering moving to Phoenix. You struggle with the decision and can't get clarity. One day you want to move and the next day you want to stay. Usually this waffling occurs because there are too many decision factors within each choice. Get a pencil and paper. Make 3 columns on your paper, one headed factors and each of the other 2 for choice, Detroit and Phoenix. Second, what decision factors are important in your decision? Weather, schools, cost of living, being near family. Write down all factors relevant to the decision, no matter how small. Write these factors in the factor column. Thirdly, next to each decision factor, weight its importance to the decision from 1 through 10, with 10 being the most important. For example, you are seasonally depressed, so weather is assigned a 10 in your matrix. Subsequently, your children are almost 18, so you decide that a school system isn't a top priority, and it receives a 3. Do this for all factors. After each criterion is ranked 1 through 10, grade each choice 1 through 10 for each decision factor. The school system in Detroit, you give it a 4. In Phoenix, you give the school system a 5, as you determine it's a little bit better. You assign entertainment in Detroit an 8, as they are home to your mighty Red Wings, while Phoenix gets a 6. Continue to do this for each decision factor within each choice. Next, for each row, multiply the weight times the grade and put that number next to the grade in parentheses. For example, in the entertainment row, Detroit receives a 40, 8 weight times 50 grade, while Phoenix receives a 16, 8 weight times 2 grade. Do this for all rows. The final step is simply to add up all the graded weight columns to get your final number for each choice. The number will be your choice that you favor. In this hypothetical example, you would stay in Detroit because it received a higher score, 232 over 228. The WADM is a great tool for making big decisions, as long as you are perfectly honest with the factor weighting. I've used WADM many times in my life to bring clarity to tough decisions. It proved I needed to move to Phoenix, it offered insight into why it was time to sell my business, and even steered me clear of some bad business investments. In 2005, I had an opportunity to invest in a Las Vegas restaurant. After I completed my due diligence to the opportunity and the founders, it was time to make a decision. But I couldn't decide. I solved the decision paralysis with the WADM analysis, and it indicated that I should turn the investment down. I did. A little over a year later, I discovered this investment turned south and that the investors lost most of their money. The matrix gave me clarity to decision ambiguity and saved me from losing $125,000. If you examine a map of the country, you'll find millions of roadways, freeways, streets, avenues, and boulevards, all leading somewhere different. Your choices unearth these roads, and there are either impressive shortcuts or perilous detours. These 2 decision tools are navigational tools for your wealth journey. Get your eyes off the rearview mirror. Today is the starting line for the rest of your life. Yes, today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. The problem with the past is that we remember memories we shouldn't, and we don't forget what we should. If your eyes are stuck in the rearview mirror, you're stuck in the past. And if you're stuck in the past, you're not looking ahead. If you're not looking ahead, you can't hit the mark of your future. The universe doesn't care about your past. It's blind to it. The universe doesn't care that I wore pink pants in high school. Hey now, come on. Remember Miami Vice? The universe doesn't care that I got in a fight with Francis Franken and lost. The universe doesn't care about your MBA from UCLA, your drug-dealing father, or that you wet your bed in junior high. The universe simply doesn't care. One person, and only one person only, weaponizes past transgressions. You. If the universe doesn't remember, why should you? Being the youngest of three siblings, you can bet I was the subject of some vile comments. Fat, stupid, you name it. However, just because my brother called me an idiot for 12 years doesn't make it my reality. Your past never equals your future unless you allow it. Think about a coin flip. No matter how many times the coin is flipped, the next flip is always random. Probability cannot be attached to a future flip based on the past. And yet, your past is exactly the same. Just because you failed at 5 relationships doesn't mean your next one will fail, especially if you learn from them. Just because you flipped burgers 3 hours ago doesn't mean you can't be a millionaire next year. The universe forgets, just like the universe forgot I mopped floors and delivered pizza not so long ago. Is your memory treasonous? Your memories have the same makeup as your choices. They're treasonous, muted, or accelerative. Unlike choices' consequences, you have a choice how your past is classified. The records of the past can be sealed. For example, if you lost your life savings in a restaurant franchise that went bankrupt soon after you invested, your memory could be either accelerative or treasonous. Your memory and its perception could be, "Business ownership is a big risk. I'll never do that again." Or, "Next time, I'm going to be selling franchises, not buying them." The former is treasonous, while the latter is accelerative. You have a choice in framing failure and framing the past. It either serves or hinders. When I reflect on my own failures, I let them serve me to affect future change. It's a part of the responsibility-accountability process. What did I learn? What can I change in the future? What should I forget? After I crashed my Viper and nearly killed myself, I remember the haze of almost losing everything. I didn't want to repeat those feelings, and their memories served my future to affect change. Street racing is for morons. Alternatively, I could allow ego to reign, keep street racing, and boast, "I'll never lose another race again." While the consequences of our choices can't be manipulated, you can manipulate your memories to serve you. My life is not defined by being picked last in high school gym class. If your past defines your existence, it will be impossible for you to become the person you need to become in the future. Chapter Summary, Fast Lane Distinctions. Your choices of action manifest from your choices of perception. What you choose to perceive or not perceive will manifest itself to a choice of action or inaction. You can change your choice of perception by aligning yourself with those who experience the perception as reality. Worst-case consequence analysis helps you avoid treasonous choices. The weighted average decision matrix can help you make better big decisions by clarifying alternatives and their internal factors. The universe has no memory, only you do. Your past can be accelerative or treasonous. You choose the classification. If your eyes are transfixed to the past, you can't become the person you need to become in the future. Chapter 25, Deodorize Flatulent Headwinds. Ridicule is the tribute paid to the genius by the mediocrities. Oscar Wilde. The Fast Lane's Natural Headwind. The greatest invention of mankind was the airplane because it defied the natural force of gravity and seemingly violated the laws of physics. How could something so heavy float in the air? What made Orville and Wilbur Wright's achievement so spectacular wasn't the act of flying, but the act of breaking free from society's gravitational pull. "Flying is impossible. You guys are nuts. You are wasting your time. Foolish." Before they could even pursue flying, the Wright brothers had to break free of society's natural headwind, the natural social conditioning that impregnates all young minds. A member of the Fastlane forum posted this.
"Going to kindergarten class can ask the kids how many of them can sing. Every hand will go up. Fast forward 13 years and ask the same class of seniors the same question. Only a few hands will go up. What changed? The kindergarten kids believed they could sing because no one had told them otherwise.
Perfectly stated. We must not hear the naysayers because they've been conditioned by society. Society will grind a constant headwind at the grill of your vehicle. You can't worry about deviating from social norms because the norm is to be two paychecks from broke.